The rain report for the week beginning December 7, 2007 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of December 7, 2007, this is the rain report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. APRS, the Automatic Packet Reporting System, has been around for some years now on 2 meters. What is new is something being dubbed as the N-Paradigm. Bob Berninga, WB4APR, is considered the father of APRS.
I'm glad to have this opportunity to speak to you because it's important to me to get back to the roots of what APRS is about. Local situational awareness of what's going on in ham radio about you. I think we've gotten off that track. I look at somebody's computer with a big display of map like you wouldn't believe, and then I've got to look real hard to find the ham radio that's on that map. It seems like the map has become the emphasis, whereas APRS originally was the people, the communicators, and the network, and what we're doing is the emphasis. When I look at a map today, I see cars and houses. And what I have always thought I wanted to see on APRS was meetings, nets, events, hamfest, parties, eyeball, traffic jams, where the RLP nodes are, Echolink nodes are, what the local repeater frequency is in the local area, ATV going on, ATV nets, contests, and like I said, what the local repeater frequency is. While I'm driving in my car, if there's anything going on in amateur radio within a half hour or an hour of me, I want to see it on the front panel of my radio or on my APRS display. I don't want to see a bunch of call signs driving around doing nothing, a bunch of houses with the lights on and nobody home. APRS is a real-time tactical communication system. It's doing something. So what I'm appealing to you is, no matter what you're doing, if it's anything other than driving, put out a beacon that says what you're doing so that everybody else can do it. In the Baltimore, Washington area, we have 100 amateur radio clubs within the metropolitan area. You can't keep track of all the meetings and everything else going on, but a lot of time I'll be driving home from somewhere. Oh, there's a net going on right now on the 107 repeater, or there's a meeting going on just 15 minutes away. In fact, I've seen a few of those, and I'll be driving through Tennessee, and I'll pull over and say, hey, I'll drop in on that ham club meeting. That's what we're trying to do. So in line with this, one of the initiatives, if you've heard me talking over and over again on the APRS SIG, is every digipeater out there is transmitting its position, and you see that on the radio. That's not what I need to know. What I need to know is, what is the voice frequency of this local area as I'm driving through it? There's a beacon text in every digipeater that's not being used. The beacon text should contain the object, which is the frequency of the local voice repeater. So when you drive through Annapolis now, you're going to see 147.105 plus on your Kenwood. It's a local packet. It is simplex. It does not add anything to the network. It's not an additional burden because it's being originated by the digipeater, which listens first before it transmits. So it's only transmitting during clean air time. It's not QRM because it's not going to the next digipeater and the next digipeater beyond that. It's only going in the area where you can use that information. That's what APRS is, local information of immediate use to the driver. So if I select that station, it's supposed to show you the PL frequency, the range of that repeater. If your repeater is 30 miles or 20 miles or 100 miles, it'll show up on there. The second line will show you net 7 p.m. Tuesday. So now you know when they meet, when their nets are, what the PL is, what the frequency is, and as you drive down the road, everywhere you are, the frequency of the nearest voice repeater should show up on there. We've got 2,000 digipeters out there. Let's get those beacon texts in there. Driving from Washington to here, I saw one, all right? But it was good because I was out in the middle of nowhere and I was able to find somebody to talk to. Again, we're not trying to put the entire repeater directory in there. We only want to put in what locals agree is the locally recommended frequency for a traveler, someplace where you can raise somebody. So we're not trying to put all the ego repeaters in there, but something that's useful for travelers. While I'm mobile, I want to be able to see what's going on around me. APRS is a two-way system. And as you know, I still just use APRS DOS. Maps, features, call signs, none. And I'm not sure if it shows up on the contrast there, but everybody who's a white station is somebody who has a messaging capability. And everybody that is gray are those that you cannot communicate with. All the ones that are gray are the trackers. Everybody who has a Kenwood know what voice alert is. Voice alert is to get people talking to people. I'm worried about ham radio. We're ships passing in the night. Like I say, in Washington, we got 100 clubs doing 100 different things. And I always find out about a fox hunt or something else after it happened because there was nothing informing me in real time. So voice alert is simply, if you've got APRS in your car, you've got a radio on 144.39, and everybody in the world knows that. Why aren't you listening? Because you don't want to hear the packet. Okay. Well, don't turn the volume down. Set CTCS S100. Okay. Now you don't hear any packets, but anybody, anytime sees you, can call you and say, hey, Joe, go to 5.2. So, you know, it's like a free radio channel built in, and we've been pushing this for years and years, and I still run into people with a D700 that have never heard of what voice alert is. Now, you can run a tracker with voice alert. You can run any APRS with voice alert, because again, all it means is you're transmitting and receiving with a CTCS S100. So only your local simplex packet has the PL on it. The digipeated copies don't have it on it, so you don't hear any of those packets.
This is the RIN report.
It's very valuable for getting humans to contact humans, which is what APRS is just simply trying to facilitate. APRS is not a vehicle tracking system. It's a common signaling channel so that everybody can see what's going on in ham radio around them. Now, I see a lot of shaking heads, and I know those people because I've seen them in packet radio for the last 30 years or 25 years. Those of you who date back to the 1980s know that what was the number one packet that was bad to transmit when we had all the nodes and the BBSs and everything else? What kind of packet was the worst one to transmit? A beacon. What is APRS? It was beacons. I wanted to use beacons to inform what's going on. And of course, if you looked at the beacon on 145.01, somebody would be reading the BBS. You'd have 5,000 lines of packet, and somewhere embedded in there was a few beacons to see what was going on frequency. So APRS was written simply to monitor a packet channel, capture all the beacons so that you could see, without having to read all 5,000 packets, what is on this frequency that I can use. The BBSs would show up, the user would show up, and you'd have a list then of everybody that's on the channel and what assets are available. That's the foundation of APRS, a signaling channel for which you can put your announcement of what you're doing in ham radio right now so that everybody else within range can participate, come over and hang out, talk to you on the radio, or get in contact with you. Because this APRS of ships passing in the night, and you can't contact each other, and yet you can see them on the map, just communicate about what's going on. It's also about the network. I loaded up, this is what Washington, D.C. looked like as I was leaving. Not very interesting, but let's do just digipeaters. And so now I can see what all the digipeaters are in the Washington area. Map plots power, and now I can see what their range is. It's still kind of busy, but at least I can see what a real digipeater is versus some of these things that are digipeaters that don't work more than a mile away. And so to me, it was always important to see what is the range of a station. Now notice also that any eye gate is shown with a white circle. Let's analyze the network, the Aloha. This thing is going to go out and calculate the maximum channel capacity and draw the circle. Okay, so now that circle is always on this map, and it says, Bob, don't try to communicate outside of this circle because that is a 100% full 1200 baud channel. I've wanted every APRS client software, when you first boot up, to calculate the Aloha circle and not only show it so that people know, this is my local area. Now, if you're in Wyoming, that circle might be 200 miles in radius. If you're in LA, it's only 10 miles. But what we came up with the Aloha concept is the same algorithm is used, and it simply calculates how many people can fit on this 1200 baud channel, and the distance then is the answer. So this is when we really started in 2004 with the new N paradigm that says we've got to cut back. Any packet that goes outside of that circle is QRM to those guys outside the circle, and they don't want to see it. Now, again, I was absolutely against any draconian measures that cut people off because, hey, the transmitter of a packet is the only person who knows what he needs to do. If he needs to do 7-7, by all means, I want to allow him to do it. But I want my software to say, are you sure? Do you really want to do this? And do you understand the implications? So we've been very successful with the new end paradigm. It used to be when I listened to the 144.39, it was wall-to-wall packet. Now I see the same number of stations. I see them much more reliably. And I'll turn on my radio and I'll listen to 144.39 and I'll start looking at my antenna connection. It's like there's nobody there. It'll go 10 seconds without a packet. Is my antenna hooked up? Am I on the right frequency? And then a packet will come through. It's because with the new end paradigm, cutting the path down to wide 2-2 and cutting out all those duplicate packets of relay and wide, that now the channel is actually not full of 8 to 10 copies of every packet, but just one copy for each digipeater, which is all you need. So it has really been successful, and I believe in most areas of the country we are seeing the new end paradigm. Again, I'm interested in seeing what the network is doing, what the packet is doing, what the RF is doing. I'm not interfaced to the internet. You'll never see me on the APRS IS. I use FindU, for that. I'm very interested in looking in and seeing what other people are doing, but APRS is local RF to me. When we've got that working, everything else is gravy, but let's focus on that. So again, focus on if you're doing anything in amateur radio, put out a packet so those other people who are not in your club, who might not be aware of it, but they'll see it on the front panel of their radio.
That was Bob Berninga, WB4APR, the father of APRS, the Automatic Packet Reporting System, excerpted from his 2007 Dayton Hamvention presentation. For more details about APRS, check out www.aprs.org. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2007 Rain. All rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, wishing you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.